光是手臂招风。
The makers of Epic Pure Sunflower Oil, Purine and Pret Cooking Fat, Yum Yum Peanut Butter, Maple Margarine, and Niblet's Cheese Twists present The Epic Casebook. In which Inspector Carr investigates.
Tonight's story stems from that very sad occurrence at the Eastern Transvaal, where a mother and a child were found dead in a gas-filled room. As those of you know who read an account of the tragedy, it was neither a case of suicide nor murder, but the result of a most unhappy series of misadventures. Happily, these kinds of accidents are very rare indeed. Yet sociologists and those in authority will tell you that of all the methods used in order to perpetrate the act of self-destruction, the use of carbon monoxide and coal gas stand way up at the head of the list. It is because your would-be suicide has such an easy access to the poison, be it a gas oven or the use of a hose pipe attached to the exhaust of a motor car, and that is why there have been so many cases of murders where the killers have used coal gas or carbon monoxide in an attempt to create the impression that death was self-induced. I mentioned the sad story of the mother and child because reading the newspaper account sent me back along the corridors of time to the delightful outer London area known as Twickenham, where a woman named Jessica Rossiter was found dead in a gas-filled room. Let me tell you about it. I've called my story Pipeline to Death.
Who'd have thought you'd be listening to Springbok Radio in 2009? But great things do survive, like Arthur Bales, a true legend in the haberdashery business, still around with good advice on sewing and knitting, still selling yarns, materials, cottons and patterns, and still with the same enthusiasm and expertise they had when they opened over 100 years ago. Yes, in 2009, the Arthur Bales tradition lives on, helping with all your sewing and knitting requirements. Call 011-888-2401 or visit their website on www.arthurbales.co.za. Arthur Bales, a legend in the business, and just like Springbok Radio, will always be around.
Flower Connection has just opened their flagship store in London, Johannesburg, at 65 on 4th, situated in 4th Avenue. For fresh-cut flowers, plants and florist accessories at wholesale prices, come to Flower Connection. Call Jenny on 076-951-9449 or visit our website at www.flowerconnection.com.
Arrived at my office to commence an early morning roster duty when the telephone persistently announced a call from operations. You say, Ops, that the caller was a Dr. Bernard Farmer?
That's right, sir.
Good heavens, it's just 7:30. What's he doing out this time of the morning?
Apparently, he was called to the home of Mrs. Jessica Rossiter, 36 Thames View, Twickenham. She was found dead by her niece and nephew.
I see. And this doctor is convinced that the woman's been murdered?
That's what the doctor said, sir.
Well, this is a doctor there. No need to call the senior police surgeon. I happen to know he was on the case until 1 o'clock this morning. Right. I just get through to transport, organize a car for me. I don't think there will be a great deal of traffic at this time of the morning. There wasn't. That, together with the car's flashing blue light of authority, meant that we reached our destination in a matter of minutes. 36 Thames View proved to be a pleasant-looking Georgian house standing in its own charming garden. The floating cumulus in a crisp blue sky, the full-throated birds heralding in a new day, daffodils nodding in obeisance to the gentle breeze, made it difficult to imagine that I was walking into a house of death.
That you go to Farmer?
Yes. Yes, Chief Inspector Carr of New Scotland Yard is here. They told me he was coming down.
I suppose Dr. Farmer told you. It's terrifying. Oh, my sister Elaine.
I can't believe it. Can't it happen?
Steady, lass, steady. We all have to exercise self-control. This police officer will have to take statements from us all.
I can still smell gas.
I'm sure you can. It's permeated the whole house.
Don't believe it. I don't believe anyone would deliberately set out to kill Aunt Jessie.
Would you like to take a look at Mrs. Rossiter?
Well, not immediately. I've got the bare details. I understand that you forced an entry into your aunt's bedroom, Mr. Rossiter, that the room was filled with gas, and that you called Dr. Farmer.
Yes, that's right.
Let's get down to the first principles for a moment. And you, Doctor, in response to Mr. Rossiter's call, arrived, examined the lady, and pronounced her dead.
Yes. I refused to sign a death certificate because...
Willful damage to a pipe. All I know is the bare bones of what you told the Twickenham police.
There must have been a fault in the pipe. That's
right. Now, let's start at the beginning, shall we? It's now 8:20. Mr. Rossiter, your aunt was alive and well last night?
Well, she was alive, yes, but...
Oh, but what?
Well, I'm afraid my aunt was somewhat... She was an alcoholic.
I see. Who else lives in the house?
No one. My sister does the cooking, and we have a char who comes in 3 times a week.
My aunt used to go to the Oxford and Cambridge every evening. It's a pub at the corner, and... Well, she always had more than what was good for her.
But as far as you know, she was alive and well, if somewhat tipsy.
Yes, we were with her.
So you all went to bed. And when you awoke this morning, what happened?
I always take Aunt Jessie a cup of tea every morning. And... Oh, honestly, this ridiculous habit of locking her door. Aunt Jessie! Wake up, Aunt Jessie! Aunt Jessie, here's your tea! Jimmy? Jimmy?
What is it? Can't you wake the old back? Let her sleep.
She'll be angry. You know how she gets upset if her tea isn't brought on the dot? Besides...
Besides what?
There's a funny smell of gas, Jimmy.
Gas? So there is. I can smell it from here. Mind out the way.
I'll get it.
Shh! Wake up! Wake up!
She must be sleeping the sleep of the dead.
Why about all this gas? Well, maybe she didn't turn the gas fire off properly. There's nothing for it. I'll break the door down.
But Jimmy, you can't. She'll be furious. You know how she goes on about breaking things.
For all we know, she might be lying on her bed unconscious. Mind out the way. I'll try and get the door in.
Careful, Jimmy.
Stay outside. I'm going to hold my breath and get the windows open.
Oh, Jesse!
Don't go in, Elaine. The room's full of gas.
Get Dr. Farmer. The room's full of gas.
Jimmy wouldn't let me go in. I ran and called Dr. Farmer.
It was you who telephoned the doctor?
Yes, that's right.
Dr. Farmer, how long did it take you to get here?
Oh, a matter of minutes. I start my morning rounds very early. No, I was just finishing breakfast when Elaine Rossiter telephoned.
I see. And you got here in how many minutes?
About 8.
But by then, much of the gas had evaporated.
Oh, but it was still pretty much in evidence.
Yes, I quite believe it. It's uncomfortable even now. Well, please carry on, Doctor. You arrived here, and then what happened?
Well, I went to see the poor woman's bedroom. Say, gas. You mean she's gassed herself?
Well, I don't know. She looks dead.
Maybe she had the gas fire on and the wind blew out the flames.
The windows were closed tight. You know how Aunt Jessie loves to sleep. Windows locked, doors locked.
I smell the gas from here.
Dreadful.
Still plenty of this carbon monoxide about her. There's no need for you both to come in.
I want to, Doctor. Don't you understand? Please, I want
to. It's all right, Elaine. Breathe as lightly as you can. Oh, dear.
Oh, she looks so...
She's dead, all right. I can't see her committing suicide. Let's have a look at the gas fire.
you move the tap?
No. No, of course I didn't.
Well, it's in the off position. Have you switched the gas off at the main?
I did. Jimmy asked me to switch it off at the meter. Look, this is where the gas came from. Look at that hole.
Yes, indeed. Look at it.
Funny. It looks as though... It
looks as though someone has deliberately bored a hole through that lead pipe.
Terrible gas. What does it mean, Dr. Farmer?
It means that someone plotted the death of your aunt by making sure she would die from carbon monoxide poisoning.
Plotted? I can't believe it.
Well, we have no alternative but to phone the police.
Thank you. Well, now let's go and take a look at the bedroom. On the bed was a woman in her late 60s. Apart from the usual signs of carbon monoxide poisoning, she might have been slumbering peacefully. The odor was still pungent despite the open window and door. Facing the bed was a gas fire. As the doctor said, it was in the off position. From the fire, a lead pipe ran along the skirting of the wall. The hole from which the gas leaked through was about half an inch in diameter. Well, there's no question about it, is there? You can see that the hole had been newly made. All right, Dr. Farmer, I won't trouble you further. I've got just one more question to ask you. Is it possible to determine the time of death?
No. Not to any degree of accuracy. Although the body's still warm, you must remember that this room has been shut against the night air. If this gas has been leaking all night, it wouldn't take more than an hour or two for it to have killed her. Well, I must go now, if you don't mind.
Yes, of course, Doctor. Thank you for your cooperation.
Good morning, Jimmy. Morning, Elaine.
Oh, I'm warming up.
So sorry about this, but I have my duty. I shall finish my rounds within about 2 hours. You'll find me at the surgery if you need me again.
Well, thank you, Doctor. Yes, I will need you again. I have to take a formal statement from you.
Yes, of course, I understand that. Well, see you later, you two.
Bye,
Doctor. I then turned to examine James Rossiter more closely. He was a neatly dressed, pleasant-looking young man in his late 20s, while Elaine, his sister, pretty despite her swollen eyes, was a few years younger. As they watched the departing back of Dr. Farmer, I wondered if they realized that either one or both had an almost watertight case of murder against them. We returned to the sitting room, where I resumed my questioning. Now, Mr. Rossiter, you say that your aunt went every night to the Oxford and Cambridge Hotel. Did you see her when she returned home last night?
No. No, I didn't.
Did you, Miss Rossiter?
No. I went with Jimmy to the cinema.
So your aunt went to the Oxford and Cambridge alone?
No, we went with her. Aunt Jessie used to insist on it. She never had an evening meal in the house. She sometimes had a sandwich in the pub, and more often than not, she just went on drinking. We got there about 7, I suppose.
Well, what happened in the pub last night? Did your aunt seem unusually depressed?
No, not a bit. In fact, she seemed gayer than usual.
Look at that silly Dr. Farmer disapproving over there. Go on, drink up. George, a double gin's the main thing of my niece.
No, thank you, Aunt Jessie. I've had enough.
Oh, you've only had one. Another won't do you any harm. And a pint for my nephew.
Aunt, it really will have to be the last because the film starts at 8:15.
Oh, why can't you sit here and keep your aunt company? You're a very naughty boy, Jimmy. I've been thinking about you.
What have I done now?
It's not what you've done, it's what you've not done.
Oh?
I told you to call in the Baxter's and order another case of gin. And none's arrived.
Aunt Jessie, you've got 3 bottles. Besides, you know what Dr. Farmer said.
Well, here are the drinks, Mrs. Rossiter.
Oh, thank you. My nephew will pay.
Yes, of course I will.
It's my money anyway.
Oh, thank you, sir. I'll fetch you the change.
Aunt Jessie, you shouldn't humiliate Jimmy like that.
Humiliate? It is my money, isn't it? All you two do is wait for your poor old aunt to die.
I'm not going to listen to this. Now, come along, Elaine. Let's go to the pictures.
And that's the last time you saw her alive?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, that's a very full account. And why have you stressed the quarrel with your aunt?
Well, because the pub was crowded. I'm not a fool. Everybody looks on Aunt Jessie as a character. They listen to everything she says. Someone would have told you.
Jimmy didn't do it, Inspector. Jimmy loved his aunt. We both loved her.
In a matter of a few minutes, James Rossiter had told me that he and his sister were beneficiaries under his aunt's will, that she was a possessive sort of woman, and that when they last saw her alive, they'd quarrelled to the extent that brother and sister had walked out of the pub. Was he so subtle as to create suspicions of guilt at an early stage in the investigation in order to sweep them away later? Or was he just being open and frank, as an innocent and bereaved nephew would be? Well, I've come across some methods of murder in my time, but this is one of the strangest. I don't know anything about metal, but I'll stake my reputation that the hole in the pipe was made deliberately. It wasn't just a flaw.
Well, of course it was.
But could a stranger come into the house in the middle of the night?
No, Inspector. Jimmy always makes sure that the front door is bolted. Aunt Jessie has a phobia about thieves. Even though it's early summer, all the windows are locked from the inside, and so is the front door.
And you say that she always locked her bedroom door?
Yes.
Now, last night you went to the pictures. You came home. You made sure that the front door was locked.
Yes.
Tell me about the gas. I see you've got electric light.
That was installed when Aunt Jessica took over the house 6 years ago. There are still gas fires in the bedroom, and we cook by gas.
I see. Now, I understand that you switched off the gas at the meter, Miss Ross.
Yes, I did.
What time did you get home last night?
Oh, about midnight. The film ended at 11. Elaine and I went for a coffee.
Mind telling me the name of the restaurant?
Oh, it's a coffee house by the river called the Swinging Lantern.
Well, I must ask neither of you to leave the house. You see, I shall want you here when an expert examines the lead piping. We'll have to take photographs, do all sorts of things.
And you also want us under a policeman's watchful eye.
Frankly, yes, Mr. Rossiter. Let me see, it's now 11 o'clock. I'm sorry to have occupied your time like this. What's the name of the landlord at the Oxford and Cambridge?
Bob Levine.
I didn't break no law, Inspector. Mrs. Rossiter had plenty, but she could go on drinking all night without falling over. The poor old girl's what we call in the trade a lush.
Yes, I know. And what happened last night after Mr. Rossiter and his sister left the pub?
Oh, she went on something wicked.
Come back here. That's the fence one again. Brought these two kids up ever since my poor brother Hubert and my sister-in-law Francine were killed in that train smash. They never wanted for nothing. Look how they treat me.
Now, look, Mrs. Rossiter, don't you think you've had enough? Here, let me get you a taxi so you can go
home. A taxi, taxi? It isn't closing time yet. Bob Levine, are you trying to tell me that I'm drunk?
No, of course not, Mrs. Rossiter.
You ought to know better than to make such a stupid suggestion. It isn't closing time yet, and I don't leave your pub until it is. What about that drink you're going to get me?
Oh.
I'll cut him out of my will. That's what I've got a good mind to do. Don't deserve it, neither of them.
Oh, come off it, Mrs. Rossiter. You worship them. You know you do. They're a nice pair of youngsters.
Nice pair? Walking out of me like that? Hey, now you go get me that drink.
And did she stay until closing time?
Yes, sir.
And then what happened?
Well, come to think of it, I don't know, sir.
What do you mean you don't know?
Well, normally she shouts for someone to get her a taxi. Last night, what? I didn't see her go, frankly.
I see, thank you. Your place was rather crowded last night, was it?
Perhaps, sir. Always is on a Friday night.
Do the youngsters visit this pub a great deal?
Well, they used to come in every evening with her. She used to sort of insist on it. They never stayed. She always went home alone.
I see, Mr. Levine. Well, thank you very much. Oh, how far am I from Cartwright and Sons, the solicitors?
I'm absolutely dumbfounded. Poor Mrs. Rossiter. Oh, she drank too much, never got over the death of her husband 10 years ago, but she was a kindly old soul, deep down. You know, she's been most generous to her niece and nephew. He's in his finals, you know. They say he's going to be a brilliant doctor, young Jim Rossiter.
But there was animosity between them.
My dear sir, I've known the family for years. Animosity, nothing. A wealthy woman, and apart from some charitable bequest, she left her entire estate to be shared between her niece and her nephew.
No other bequest?
None.
Do you mind if I take a copy of the will to study it?
Not at all. I'll have it focused at it for you.
Doctor, as Mrs. Rossiter was your patient, you'd know her better than most. I'm at a loss. Do you see these youngsters as murderers?
Unbelievable. No, I don't.
But was she suicidal? When did you see her last? Alive, I mean.
Oh, she was suffering from a hangover last Wednesday.
Oh, doctor, I feel terrible. I'm catching pneumonia or something. Oh, I feel awful.
There's nothing wrong with you that a few days on the wagon won't cure.
But my head, it feels terrible.
I'll give you something to take, and you stay in bed for 24 hours and no drink, mind you.
How is she, doctor?
Oh, she'll live.
You're a couple of heartless wretches, that's what you are.
Oh, Aunt Jessie, here you are. I brought you some coffee to take your aspirins with.
Aspirins? What good will they do me? I'm a sick woman, I tell you.
Oh, dear, that means you won't be able to go to the Oxford and Cambridge tonight. I tell you what, I'll light the gas fire and you lie here. I'll set you some nice boiled fish for your supper.
You do no such thing. Lie here, indeed.
I see, Doctor. Now, from what you tell me, she was nursing a hangover, but in reasonably good humor.
Yes.
Thank you, Doctor.
Oh, I feel very sorry for these youngsters.
Well, sorry or not, from what everybody tells me, Mrs. Rossiter enjoyed her life, even though she drank too much. She's the person I'm sorry for. I might as well tell you that the house is receiving a thorough once-over.
Hello, Inspector. When are we going to be arrested?
Now, young lady, none of that righteous indignation. You'd want the killer to be punished, wouldn't you?
I didn't do it, and Jimmy didn't do it. And the way all these plainclothes men have been looking
at... Your imagination, young lady. Tell me about the gas meter. Was it always switched on?
Yes, except when they came to put in the new gas fires a couple of years ago.
Let's go and take a look at it. The meter was at the end of the passage in a kind of alcove under the stairs. Attached to it was a lever. It would have been a simple matter to switch the gas off. But who? When? How? I continued my questioning until the call came through.
Hello?
Is that Riverside 0873?
Yes.
This is Scotland Yard here. Is Inspector Carr with you?
Yes, he is. Hold on, please. It's for you, Inspector.
Oh, thank you. Hello?
Ops here, Inspector.
Oh, yes.
The blood count showed a high percentage of alcohol, sir.
What does that mean, Ops?
Well, sir, labs are perfectly convinced that Mrs. Rossiter would not have been able to walk back to her home.
I see. Thank you. Now we're getting somewhere. I think I'll have a word with Dr. Farmer. Well, I'm sorry to take up so much of your time, Doctor, but somehow I'm loath to arrest Elaine and James Rossiter on a charge of murdering their aunt unless the case against them is absolutely watertight.
It seems incredible that they should want to murder their aunt. I mean, why link the two together? I can't see Elaine being in collusion. It'd be against her nature.
And James, the nephew? After all, if he qualifies as a doctor this year, could make a tremendous difference to him if he can buy into a flourishing practice.
That's true.
I wonder what the legal position is if he were convicted for the murder of his aunt. I understand that they share the estate, but a man convicted of a crime forfeits his legacy. I suppose half of it will go to the niece and half...
If he really committed the murder, well, she must have been involved. After all, coming home and drilling a hole in that lead pipe...
But he could have waited until she was asleep. After all, whoever did it must have drilled that hole after Mrs. Rossiter went to bed.
Aren't you forgetting something, Inspector?
Hmm?
Once she was in bed, the door was locked.
That's why I'm loath to arrest these youngsters. Assuming they came home late that night, and they wanted to carry out their plan, the door would have been locked.
One or the other could have drilled a hole during the day.
That's impossible. You see, Doctor, the house is so clean, so spick and span, that lead piping across the skirting is so exposed. Oh, they wouldn't dare risk their aunt seeing their drilled hole. From what I've gathered from everyone, including you, she was a highly intelligent woman. She'd see the significance of a carefully drilled hole in a piece of piping which led to the gas fire. They wouldn't risk their legacy.
You seem convinced that they didn't do it. But somebody did it. Somebody murdered the woman.
Doctor, I was rather interested that you introduced the word drill.
Hmm?
You mentioned drilling a hole two or three times. I began to follow your example.
What do you mean?
Who was the person with sufficient authority to put the old lady to bed without the usual routine of locking the door from the inside?
What do you mean?
I mean you, Doctor.
What?
You drove her home. You persuaded her to go to bed, knowing that within an hour or two she would come out of her drunken stupor, and the chances are that she would lock her bedroom door, not knowing that while she was in her drunken slumber, you had drilled a hole in the lead pipe.
Are you mad, Inspector?
Why didn't you tell me that you drove Mrs. Rossiter home on the night she was killed?
Who says I drove her home?
I say it. Don't deny it. Now, the game's up, Dr. Farmer. Once I couldn't accept the thesis that these youngsters would plan such a crude and stupid murder, there could only be one other suspect, and that's you.
Excuse me, Inspector.
Yes?
Take a look at this surgical drill. It has distinct lead marks on it.
How dare you search my rooms without...
A warrant? I'm sorry, Doctor. I forgot to tell you I have a search warrant. Oh. I'm arresting you for the murder of Jessica Rossiter, and I must warn you that anything you now say...
Dr. Farmer, can't believe it.
You will when all the evidence comes out. You see, a detective's first job in cases such as these is to find out who are the beneficiaries. Now, you, and you, Mr. Rossiter, will benefit. But there's a clause that says that should anything happen to either or both of you, that her dear friend and doctor, Bernard Farmer, would distribute the estate as he sees fit.
Incredible. Thank goodness you solved the problem. You had me worried.
Me too.
I suppose so. But within a matter of hours, I began to have my suspicions about him.
Why, Inspector?
Well, you see, Miss Rossiter, during my... As usual in police work of this kind, we look for a contradiction or a conflict in evidence. Something somebody says or does to cause us to think twice. In this case, it was James Rossiter telling us what had happened in the Oxford and Cambridge when his aunt said...
Look at that silly Dr. Farmer disapproving over there. Go on, drink up.
Yet if you remember, I asked Dr. Farmer, when did you last see her? Alive, I mean.
Oh, she was suffering from a hangover last Wednesday.
Now, why didn't he tell me that he saw his patient in the pub a few hours before she was killed? By the same token, he rather pointedly told me about Elaine saying to her aunt...
I'll tell you what. I light the gas fire and you lie here.
A rather unsubtle pointer, I thought. All that, coupled with the knowledge that the woman could not have walked home in her drunken state, that somebody well known to her must have put her to bed, that the worthy doctor would benefit from the legacy if James and Elaine Rossiter, or one of them, was convicted of murder, added up to a pattern that was plain to see. Once our labs confirmed that the surgical drill contained minute particles of lead, the game was up, and he pleaded guilty.
The Epic Casebook was produced by Michael Silver for the makers of Epic Pure Sunflower Oil, Maple Margarine, Yum Yum Peanut Butter, and Niblet's Cheese Twists, with Hugh Russ as Inspector Carr. Listen again next Thursday night at 9:30 to another exciting story from our Epic Casebook.